Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It has been a blessing these last couple weeks talking from Tara Ride's Bible study, Tell It Well. And we are in the last chapter of her study, which is the chapter 12 of the book of Acts. And last week was just amazing. We just got to share a little bit about the angel of the Lord coming and saying, quick, get up, and Peter's obedience.
It's amazing. Okay, now,
love it.
I made an allusion last week. I was talking about the fact that when the angel of the Lord touched Peter, he smote him, according to some translations. In the NIV, it says struck. When the angel of the Lord touches Herod, in today's passage, we are going to see that he also smotes or strikes. But for us, for the opening, I'm going to tell there's a division happening, and some people get the trusted friend Blastus to help them get a time to talk with King Herod. And then, Sabrina, would you read for us what happens when Herod goes to meet with them, starting with verse 21 and take us on to verse 24?
21 to 24. Okay. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to increase and spread.
It's so funny.
I know, I had to say that.
It was just the way you said it was so perfect. It was like, struck dead. But the word of God continued to increase and spread.
That's the important part.
You guys, this is huge. Okay, now, all right, an angel struck Peter and gave him miraculous release. An angel struck Herod and gave him worms that did eat
death.
Him. I mean, I'm serious. Okay,
oh, that makes me
it
itch.
Is the same touch, the same angel, the same touch. One was life and the other was death. And I was serious. This so hit me when I was reading this. I thought, God, that's amazing. A simple touch. One brings life and one brings death. And first thing that comes to mind is that the Lord gives life, the Lord gives death, the Lord gives, the Lord takes. Why is it that we think that only when a blessing comes that it's from God, but if something that is not a blessing, that, you know, it's hardship, some kind of hardship, that we say it's not, you know, that God didn't do that. Whereas God will use hardship to grow us. Because what is inside is revealed through times of suffering. Herod, however, reached the breaking point. And what it reveals is the heart. It wasn't the touch that made the difference. It was what was in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's heart was a heart towards obedience. We covered that last week. He was willing to get up, gird himself, and follow the angel of the Lord so that the mission could be accomplished. However, Herod was not. Herod wanted the glory. The chapter begins with us knowing that Herod wanted the glory because he was willing to kill a man because of the praise of the Jews. Now when the praise comes to him, he accepts it as his own when they call him a god. And God said, okie dokie, touch him. So I wonder, I thought, God, what kind of touch? Was it a poke, a prick, a prod, or was it a caress? Did it require a lot? Did he feel it? You know, I mean, it just, my mind goes, my mind goes all these different places. I did a lot of research on this. And I think we covered this in one of our other Bible studies, and I can't remember which one, but I know it's somewhere in the archives of the podcast. But in my research, I discovered, and this is historical tradition, okay? It's not in the Bible, but historical tradition written down by historians like Josephus and stuff. Herod on that day, when he went out, and you know how you have the scene in movies where you have the alcove, you know, and the king comes out and he's on that like semicircle and all the people are down below and the people are shouting, "Hooray, hooray, hooray, the king, you know, I'm so excited." And Herod was preparing to meet with this entourage and the people that were coming in. And he decided to go ahead and dress in what would be one of the finest robes, the royal robes that he had. And the historian wrote that literally the robe that he had put on was a robe weaved with the finest silver's thread of silver, real silver. So one, you're talking heavy, but two, extremely beautifully bright. When he stepped out on the balcony, alcove, whatever the place that he went out, as the sunshine came in and shone, literally, Josephus, I believe is the historian that wrote this, it said that it was like rays were shooting out over the people because of the reflection of the sun off the silver of the robe.
Wow.
Okay. You're talking, it was like almost like an overwhelming, blinding light. And so the people were overwhelmed by the appearance of what they were seeing. Now, historical tradition states that an owl appeared that day. And there's different theories as to whether or not the owl actually flew in and flew towards, which is really unusual because owls are nocturnal. Mm-hmm. And so it would be, one, unusual to have an owl flying during the day, and two, to have an owl fly towards something bright, like that robe. But there is also a theory that someone was on the top of the building and had a stick with a stuffed owl. I don't know which is true. It's just, it was kind of funny, the historical tradition that I was finding on this. And that they lowered it from a string in front of Herod because they had a belief that if you saw an owl during the day, it was a bad omen. And so tradition says that when Herod saw the owl, he knew he was doomed. Now, scripture tells us very clearly that the angel of the Lord struck him. And the reason why the angel of the Lord struck him is because the people praised him as God. And he took God's praise and chose not to praise God, but accepted the praise as his own. And so he died. The death that he died of worms, intestinal worms, it was, it's a very long, drawn-out process. I don't remember the exact number of days, but it was many days. He was hit instantly, struck with it, but it took days of a very painful...
Like worms inside the body?
Yes, death. I mean, it was and it like a horrifying death that he endured. Y'all, hello? Who am I to think I should take the glory of the Lord? You know, when I first read this, when I started off in the ministry, and I have made it a habit, and I try to keep this my habit now, and I try not to do it, mind myself, not even to do this in a flippant or a cliche way. But if somebody will come up to me and say after I teach, you know, oh, that was so good, it was so this, it was so that, I will immediately speak forth, that's to the glory of God, that's to the praise of God. One of those two phrases will immediately come from my lip. And I had somebody call me on it one time. And they're like, why do you always say that? You're always like downing what you do. And I looked at her and I said, I read the passage about Herod taking the glory of God and he got ate up by worms. And honey, I don't want to die that way. And she just looked at me and started laughing because she just needed to understand why I did what I did. But that's why I don't want to be a person who takes the praise of God. I think we should all be pretty serious about that.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think in Christendom, we could really learn a lot from this passage about Herod, because I think we can surely get pretty prideful. I know I can. I'm speaking from my own sin.
Yeah.
And
me too.
To guard against that pride of allowing man to praise us. And to be in a position and a posture and in our hearts to determine, I will praise God.
Yes.
I will praise God. Any praise that comes to me, I will praise God. I was, I think my son was probably about 8 months old, and I was in a Bible study with Marge Caldwell. And I know some people here in the city have gone to some of Marge Caldwell's charm school classes. She is a Christian that's gone to be with the Lord now. But she's still alive. She'd probably be in her 90s now. And she traveled all over and had a radio show, and she taught Christian women etiquette, charm, beauty, grace. It was just very sweet ministry that she had. But at the point in time when I, at my church, she and her husband are who did the marriage classes, and Greg and I went Sunday nights to all the marriage classes they taught because they were hilarious. But on Thursdays, I went to her women's Bible study. And she said, she was so sweet. And even in her 80s, I mean, she was dressed to the nines. I just, Lord, let me have a little bit of the grace that Marge had. And she said, you know, throughout the day, there are going to be plenty of opportunities where people will come and praise you. She said, in my mind, I visualize at the end of the day that I have this beautiful bouquet of roses. And I take my rose, and one by one, for every sweet, sweet compliment that's come my way, I simply hand it over to my Jesus.
Mm.
How sweet is that?
That is so sweet.
What a, I just have this
I
visual. I know, and I can see her because she is like a Miss America to me. Just, she is the most beautiful person in the Lord I could ever share.
I want to be like that.
Yeah, and to be where we, in such humility, mm-hmm. will take every compliment that comes our way and give it to the Lord and just say, it's yours. Because apart from you, I am nothing. I can do nothing. But with you, God, all things are possible. All things.
All things.
And Herod gives us the example of what we don't want to have happen.
The fear of the Lord.
So I told Sabrina, I had a whole nother section that I didn't even get to that I was wanting to teach on this, but we're going to read a verse. Sabrina, I want you to read Isaiah 28, verse 1 and verse 3. I'm going to have us cover a couple of the different crowns that we have, because Marge talked about it being a rose, but essentially when we die and we get to heaven, Scripture actually refers to a whole bunch of different kinds of crowns.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah 28.
1 and 3. And I want us to look at these crowns to see what we can do with these crowns. And but I'm also, we're going to start off with a crown that we don't want. Go ahead and read this crown. We don't want this crown.
Oh, okay.
Isaiah 28, 1 and verse 3.
That's what I looked at.
Her face was just like in horror, so she's got to read it. Yeah, she's like, why is she reading it? Have me read this.
Okay, Isaiah 28, verse 1. Woe to that wreath, the pride of Ephraim's drunkards, to the fading flower, his glorious beauty, set on the head of a fertile valley, to that city, the pride of those laid low by wine. That wreath, the pride of Ephraim's drunkards, will be trampled underfoot.
All right. A wreath is a crown. That's the translation. Okay. Do you think of like the Greek games? They give them a gold wreath. That was the crown that they received. The crown of pride, drunkenness. What else did it say?
It said pride, drunkard.
Wine.
Glorious beauty.
Vain.
Vain.
You know.
Head of a fertile valley.
Okay, just thinking we're so great, okay? Anything that is prideful, there is actually that crown. And what happens to that crown according to that passage?
Will be trampled underfoot.
Okay, we do not want the crown of pride. Herod had it. He was smote. He died. Each man is appointed to be born, and each man is appointed to die. We do not want the pride of life in us.
Mm-mm.
We need to do whatever we can to get that confessed and cleansed. Mm-hmm. Anytime pride comes up, daily, moment by moment, confess it. Do not act on it. Do not allow it to have room to grow. Do not allow it to breed in you the ugliness that it can breed.
Wow.
Okay. Let's start there. That's pretty sobering.
That was very sobering.
Isn't it? I mean, it's like, are you serious?
But that's good. I know that the Lord had you teach that to me specifically, because I have someone dealing with something, and she was like, give me some scriptures. But I'm like,
you know what? And I didn't think we were going to get to this section, because this was my, if we had time, I'll cover these.
Well, praise God.
There are many crowns in scripture. Okay, now what we're going to do, I'm going to have us take some, and let's just look at some of them that are the good crowns, that we have opportunity to earn these crowns, not that we are doing works, Okay, that is not it. Salvation is a free gift. But right. once we have salvation, we are responsible in obedience. And our responsible in obedience will give us the blessing of these crowns to lay at the feet of our Lord when we get to heaven. Okay? So would you read 1 Corinthians 9:25? Mm. I love this crown. I think that this crown is special to the Father because this crown is a crown that his Son definitely modeled for us what it should be. So read for us 1 Corinthians 9:25.
Okay. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever.
Okay. It is referred to as the everlasting crown, the crown that will last forever, the victory crown. Essentially, this crown in 1 Corinthians 9:25, it's the crown about dying to yourself. It's not about me. Really living out what John the Baptist said was less of me and more of mm-hmm. you. It's really, that's the key. I would like, because we're getting so close to coming to an end of this week, read 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20. And let's look at this crown. This crown is very precious as well. So we had that crown, which is the crown of dying to self. We've had the crown of pride. And for the last crown, and I had five crowns that we could look at. If you want to have information about the crowns, mm-hmm. Feel free to email me at, you know, theterrorride.com, and I'll be happy to send you a little breakout sheet on this so that you can have this information. And so 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got it?
I do. I just have to find my little eyes.
You got it.
Okay. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm starting to cry because that crown is the summation of what I was wanting us to do with Tell It Well. We are called to go and tell others about Jesus. And there is a soul-winning crown, and that's this crown. This crown is a crown of rejoicing because it's about a pre-believer becoming a believer, a lost soul knowing their Lord for the first time in their life. Peter, on one day, had 3,000. On another day, we know in Scripture, 5,000. Each of us will have an opportunity, if we've somehow played in the seed bearing of someone coming to know the Lord, will have a crown to lay at Christ's feet for that seed.
Oh my goodness.
That's huge.
Oh.
That's the beauty of God. Now, we have this gift of a Savior. Mm-hmm. Let's do what we can to give him back what he has done for us. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we're so glad you joined us for Tell It Well. God bless.